The Friend Magazine for August 2016, Volume 46, Number 8. Contents. Stories and Features. From the First Presidency, God is Our Father, by President Thomas S. Monson. The Little Bottle of Silence. Family Night Fun. Cricket's Big Moment. My Miracle. Answers from an Apostle, Elder D. Todd Christofferson. Friends Who Stand Tall. Courage to Be Kind. Bulletin Board. Brian Leads the Way. When I Grow Up, I Want to Own a Business. Book of Mormon Hero, Samuel Testified. I Can Read the Book of Mormon. Be Smart, Be Safe, and Have Fun. The Hidden Video Game. Show and Tell. Conference Quote Cards. Friend to Friend, Being Where We Should Be, by Elder Randy D. Funk. Matt and Mandy, Stop and Flip. Music, The Lord Gave Me a Temple. For Older Kids, Did You Hear About Shara? Shine Your Light. Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, Wonderful World. Happy Sabbath, Thank You. Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture. Fun Stuff, Write Your Own Story. Friend Junior, For Parents of Little Ones. Bright Idea, Micah Obeys. Book of Mormon Stories, Samuel Teaches About Jesus. Coloring Page, and Hands, Heart, and a Smile. End of contents. Read by Wes Nelson.
Friends by Mail. How are we the friend? I'm so excited when I get a new friend that sometimes I sit outside by my mailbox to read it as soon as it comes. Easton K, age 7, Georgia, USA.
Fill the boat. We took our family home evening lesson on the road to our cousin's house. We talked about Nephi and how the Lord directed him to build a boat. After we watched a scripture video at LDS.org, we made boats from Fun Stuff, January 2016, and floated them in the bathtub. It was so much fun. Mac, Cooper, Aniston, and Beckham P., ages 8, 8, 5, and 3, Idaho, USA.
Friend Race. Whenever the friend comes in the mail, my brother and I race to read it. It has interesting stories and cool activities I like to do. Nellie W., age 8, New York, USA.
The Big Brother Trap. My favorite story is The Big Brother Trap, March 2014. Sometimes I'm not as nice as I could be, so then I say sorry and feel good inside. After that, I try to be extra nice and do something for my siblings. Jenna H., age 10, Utah, USA.
Dear friends, how much of your free time do you spend with the TV, smartphone, or tablet? Look on page 24 to find out how to use them wisely, so you can learn and do other fun things. Then, on page 4, you can read a story about a boy who needed time just to be quiet and listen to the Spirit. Love, the friend. P.S. Write and tell us how you spend your time wisely. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of this month's Friend by Mail.
From the First Presidency, God is Our Father by President Thomas S. Monson. God our Father has ears with which to hear our prayers. He has eyes with which to see our actions. He has a mouth with which to speak to us. He has a heart with which to feel compassion and love. He is real. He is living. We are His children made in His image. We look like Him, and He looks like us. Adapted from I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and signed April 1982, pages 6 through 9. Heavenly Parents, Earthly Parents. A proclamation is a very important message. The Family, A Proclamation to the World, was written by prophets and apostles. It teaches us what Heavenly Father wants us to know about families. Use the sentences and pictures below to learn more about what the proclamation teaches about our heavenly parents and earthly parents. Each one of us is a child of our Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. Our heavenly parents created us a girl or a boy before we were born. We agree to be born to earthly parents, to learn and to grow here on earth. In the temple, we can be sealed to our earthly families forever. Parents are supposed to protect, teach, and care for their children. Fathers and mothers are supposed to help one another. Our heavenly parents want us to become parents one day, too. We can become like our heavenly parents and live with them again. Cut out the cards and glue them to paper. Flip them over and take turns trying to match the sentences with their pictures. End of the article, from the First Presidency, God is Our Father, by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by David Shaw.
Meet Elder D. Todd Christofferson. He was born on August 24, 1945, in Utah, USA. When he was 15, his family moved to New Jersey. He was the only member of the church in his high school class. He served a mission in Argentina. He first saw his future wife, Kathy Jacob, at a football game in college. They are the parents of 5 children. Elder Christofferson worked as a lawyer before he was called to be a 70, and later, an apostle. What's an apostle? When Jesus was on the earth, he called 12 men to be his special helpers and witnesses. They were called apostles. He has called apostles to be his special helpers and witnesses today. They testify of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Elder Christofferson is an apostle. Watch videos about the apostles at children.les.org. Click on videos and meet the apostles. End of the article, Meet Elder D. Todd Christofferson. Read by Maya Reinwand.
The Little Bottle of Silence by Ray Goldrup, based on a true story. Why would Grandpa give Gage an empty bottle? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. John chapter 14, verse 27. Gage stared at the empty old bottle and turned it over in his hands. It was small and misty green, with a cork stopper in the top. Grandpa Russell had given it to him after his baptism.
What is it?
Gage asked.
I know it's a bottle, but there's nothing in it.
Oh, it's full,
Grandpa said. Gage shook the bottle.
Well, it looks empty to me.
Grandpa laughed. He pulled out the cork and held the little bottle near Gage's ear.
Can you hear it?
He whispered.
Hear what?
Gage whispered back. Grandpa smiled.
Silence,
he said. Then he put the cork back in the bottle.
In today's world, silence is pretty hard to find. It's like medicine, and each drop is as precious as gold.
Gage said thank you and took Grandpa's strange gift home, but he didn't think about it much. A few weeks later, Gage's uncle Vince passed away. After the funeral, lots of relatives crowded into the front room at Gage's house to visit. Gage escaped to his bedroom and closed the door. He could hear the muffled voices of his parents and relatives down the hall. Gage saw the old green bottle sitting on his desk and picked it up. He turned it over in his hands. Grandpa had said silence was like medicine. Gage needed to find some peace and comfort after Uncle Vince's funeral. Gage pulled the cork loose from the bottle and tipped it over his head, pretending to let a little silence pour out. He knew the bottle wasn't really full of silence, but he knew he needed some quiet time to feel close to God. He felt tears build up in his eyes. Uncle Vince wouldn't be there anymore. No more silly jokes, no more wrestling with him. Gage's heart hurt from missing him. Then in the silence, Gage felt something warm grow in his heart and soften the pain. He remembered that Uncle Vince wasn't gone forever. He had just moved on to the next world. Because of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation, everyone would live forever. Gage was still sad, but he knew that someday he could see Uncle Vince again. As he held the bottle in his hands, Gage felt peaceful inside. He knew it was because of the Holy Ghost and not the bottle. The bottle had just reminded him to be quiet so he could feel the Holy Ghost. He corked the bottle and set it down. Then he went back to the front room to be with his family. He could carry the peace and comfort of the Holy Ghost inside of him, even outside his quiet room. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar: Peace is a gift from God, and it only comes through the Spirit of God. By Elder Per G. Malm of the 70. Rest unto your souls, Ensign, November 2010, page 102.
End of the story, The Little Bottle of Silence. Read by Wes Nelson, Ethan Nelson, David Shaw, and Dwayne Case.
Family Night Fun. Here are some fun FHE ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Peace jars. Read The Little Bottle of Silence on page 4. Just like Gage used his bottle of silence to help him feel peace when his uncle died, you can create your own peace jar to help you feel better when hard things happen. Number 1. Find a clean, empty jar for each family member, or use one jar for the whole family to share. 2. Talk about ways you can feel peace when hard things happen. 3. Draw or write down these activities on slips of paper and put them in your jar. And number 4, put the jar where you'll see it often. Whenever you feel sad or need some comfort, take a piece of paper out of the jar and do what it says. Funny faces. Make these fun pizzas as a family. Then talk about how you handle different feelings. What do you do when you're happy? What about when you're sad or mad? You'll need English muffins, pizza sauce, shredded cheese, pizza toppings like pepperoni, olives, pineapple, sausage, or vegetables. Number 1. Preheat oven to 425 degrees, 220 degrees Celsius. Cut each English muffin in half to make two circles. Place each circle crust side down on a large baking sheet. Number 2. Spread pizza sauce on each muffin half. Then sprinkle shredded cheese on top. Number 3. Use the pizza toppings to decorate your pizzas to look like faces with different feelings. Happy, sad, silly, mad, or anything else you can think of. And number 4, bake pizzas for 8 to 10 minutes. Let them cool before eating. Peace and patience. Here are some ways to work on being patient when hard things happen. Don't forget that Heavenly Father loves you. Spend time alone. Think about what's bothering you and ways to fix it. Serve others. You'll focus less on your problems when you're helping someone else. If sad feelings continue for a long time, ask a parent for help. Tasty treats. Try these for FHE this month. Mix 4 ounces, 110 grams, cream cheese, 8 ounces, 225 grams, cottage cheese, and 1 1/2 tablespoons ranch dressing mix. Serve with pita chips or veggies. Pop 1/2 cup popcorn kernels. Toss with 2 tablespoons taco seasoning and salt to taste. Dip peeled banana halves in melted chocolate. Sprinkle with nuts if you want. Freeze on waxed paper until chocolate is set. More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Take turns reading, be smart, be safe, and have fun. Then read The Hidden Video Game. Now's a great time to write or review media guidelines for your family. Idea number 2. Modesty is a lot more than the way we dress. Do the activity Shine Your Light together. How will you shine a light for others? Idea number 3. Share family stories you love. Write down one of the stories together and have everyone help illustrate a page. Use Write Your Own Story to help make your new book. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of the article, Family Night Fun. Read by Van Farnworth.
Cricket's Big Moment by Ellen Jovernick, based on a true story. Cricket couldn't wait until she could join a cheer team. By small and simple things are great things brought to pass. Alma chapter 37, verse 6.
Over here! Miss Karen, the cheerleading camp director, waved Cricket over.
Girls 8 and under are in this group.
Not again,
Cricket whispered to her best friend, Lauren. She turned to Miss Karen and said,
Actually, I'm 10. I'm just small.
Oh,
Miss Karen said.
Well, we need you to cheer with the younger girls for the performance. You're so much shorter and you wouldn't blend in with the older girls. Besides, their uniforms would be too big on you.
But,
Cricket started to say,
Of course you can do all the other camp activities with your friends.
Miss Karen patted Cricket's shoulders.
I know you won't mind.
Cricket didn't say anything, but back in their room, Cricket told Lauren,
But I do mind. I'm always the smallest one at camp. It will be okay,
Lauren said.
We'll have fun doing everything else together.
And they did have fun. They learned to do flips and back walkovers on the bar in their gymnastics class. Miss Karen even complimented Cricket on her landings. They watched every day as the high school cheerleaders practiced their pyramids. Cricket was already good at pyramids, and she couldn't wait until she was old enough to join a cheer team, too. But none of it quite made up for having to cheer with the little kids. Cricket felt out of place practicing with them. They were so much younger. She wished she were taller so she could cheer with her friends.
Why don't you pretend to be sick on Saturday?
Lauren said.
Then you won't have to be in the show.
Cricket thought for a moment.
No, I can't do that. It wouldn't be honest. And besides, Miss Karen and the kids are counting on me. I'll just tough it out.
The next day, Cricket had just performed with her group and left the stage when Miss Karen came running up to her.
We need you,
Miss Karen whispered.
The girl for the top of the high school team's pyramid is sick. You're small enough for the girls to lift easily, and your landing is perfect. Are you willing to try it?
Cricket nodded slowly. They needed her help because she was small.
I'll do my best,
she said. When the high school girls finished their routine and started their pyramids, Miss Karen gave Cricket the signal to join them. Cricket said a silent prayer asking Heavenly Father to help her do her best. She walked on stage. The girls lifted her up and she grinned, holding her hands high in the air. Cricket flipped down into the girls' arms and landed perfectly. The crowd cheered. The rest of the cheerleaders came down from the pyramid smoothly. Cricket couldn't stop smiling as she listened to the crowd cheering. At the end of the show, all the cheerleaders came onto the stage for one last bow. Miss Karen walked to the microphone.
Every year, we give an award to the most inspirational camper. This year, we've chosen a girl who cared more about the group than about herself. The Most Inspirational Camper Award goes to a little girl with a big heart. Cricket Newton, please come forward,
she said. Cricket hugged the trophy tight. She smiled as she stood on her tiptoes to say,
Thank you,
into the microphone. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
A true story written by you. My Miracle, by Jonah F., age 11, Utah, USA. Miracles happen every day. Some are big and some are small. Sometimes people have a hard time seeing miracles, even big ones. Just before my 11th birthday, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which is a serious disease when your body doesn't use sugar correctly. This is my biggest miracle. I'll explain why. For a long time, I didn't feel well. I wasn't sick enough to tell my mom, but it wasn't good. Over the summer, it got worse. I didn't want to go anywhere, even when my family was doing something fun. I was just too tired. My mom took me to the doctor for a different reason, but my doctor saw what my parents and I did not. All my symptoms were connected, and I was in a dangerous condition. My pancreas, which is a part of the body that helps food digest, was shutting down. In the hospital, the nurses were amazed that we had caught it so soon. Most kids are very sick when they finally find out. Now I knew what was wrong and how to feel better. I know I can live a long life with diabetes because of the miracles of science, research, and modern medicine. I know I have an important job to do in my life, and this is my miracle. End of the story, My Miracle, read by Asher Hawkins.
Answers from an Apostle. Why are families so important? From Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. God's plan is for men and women to marry and have children. God also told us that parents should teach their families to follow Jesus Christ. Faithful families help communities and nations be strong and healthy. Families are the best way for God's plan of happiness to succeed. From Why Marriage, Why Family? Ensign, May 2015, pages 50 through 53. End of the article, Why Are Families So Important? From Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Read by Dwayne Case.
Friends who stand tall. Courage to be kind.
Hi, my name is Rachel. How it all started. When I was in fourth grade, I saw a friend being bullied. I told my teacher, but I didn't do anything else. I wished I had been brave enough to do something more. My mom said if I prayed, Heavenly Father could help me. A prayer and a phone call. I went to my bedroom and prayed about it. Just as I said I'm in, the phone rang. It was my friend Lexi. She could tell I had been crying. I told her what happened at school and invited her to come over. The challenge for kindness. I decided to make a chart to help me remember to be kinder every day. I called it the challenge for kindness. Lexi said we should make one for everyone in our class. Sharing the challenge. We made a presentation about the challenge and sent it to our teacher. She invited us to present it to our class. I was super nervous, but we did it. Now everyone in our class had their own kindness chart. Butterflies. I still wanted to do more, so I sent a presentation to the principal. She asked us to share our challenge with the whole school. Now I really had butterflies. I said a prayer right before the assembly started. Lexi and I took turns talking about why people bully and what to do about it. At the end, we both said, "We will make a difference. Together, we will stop bullying." A huge warm feeling. As I walked back to my seat, I had a huge warm feeling. Heavenly Father comforted me when I felt bad and prompted me to do something that made a difference. It felt good to know I had answered Heavenly Father's challenge to be kind.
Rachel's tips for standing tall.
Stand up for yourself, for others, and for what you believe in. You can do more when you work together. Be kind to others because it makes the world a better place. When you feel bad about something, pray to Heavenly Father so He can comfort you and help you know what to do.
Send us your footprint. How do you follow Jesus by standing tall? Trace your footprint and send us your story and photo along with your parents' permission. Find out how on page 39. End of the article, Friends Who Stand Tall. Read by Ethan Nelson and Maya Reinwand.
Happy Sabbath. Thank you. Do this activity with your family. Do you know how to say thank you in any other languages? Here's how to say it in American, Australian, and British Sign Language. Give it a try. Think of people who helped you this week, like teachers, your bishop, and friends. How can you say thank you to them? Maybe you could write them a nice note, or give them a treat. You could make and share the recipe below. Blessing bread. Sundays are a great day to think about our blessings. Try this recipe with your family. Each time you add an ingredient, say one thing Heavenly Father has blessed your family with. Remember that you can thank Him anytime, anywhere, through prayer. Step 1. In a mixing bowl, combine 1 cup vegetable oil, 3 eggs, and 2 cups of sugar. Step 2. Stir in 2 cups of your choice of chopped or mashed fruits or vegetables. Try apples, bananas, peaches, zucchini, or pumpkin. Step 3. In a separate bowl, mix 3 cups of flour, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1 teaspoon of salt. Add to the liquid ingredients. Stir in 1 cup of walnuts, which is optional. Step 4. Pour into 2 greased 8x4 inch or 20x10 centimeters loaf pans. Bake at 325 degrees Fahrenheit, or 160 degrees Celsius, for 1 hour until a toothpick comes out clean when you stick it in the center. Let it cool in the pan 10 minutes before removing. Enjoy! End of the article. Happy Sabbath! Thank you! Read by Scott Moore.
Bulletin board. Play paper chase. Put paper plates on the floor for each player and spread some colorful paper squares around. Each player uses a straw to try to move as many squares onto their plate as possible in 1 minute. But you can only pick them up by sucking through the straw. God gives us good food. This is a cauliflower. They're usually white, but there are orange, green, and purple cauliflowers too. Temple Connection. On page 14, you can meet Rachel from Oklahoma, USA. This is the Oklahoma City Temple. Do you have pictures of you or your family in front of a temple? You could set a goal to take a picture on temple grounds or draw a picture of yourself there. Ask your family, do we know anyone who is being bullied? How can we help them? CyberStrong. Deleting posts and messages doesn't make them disappear from the internet, so I will be careful not to post or send anything that I wouldn't want everyone to see. End of Bulletin Board. Read by David Shaw.
Brian Leads the Way by John Clark. Based on a true story. No way could Brian move that wheelbarrow. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10.
Michael and Carson, I could use your help today,
Dad said, putting on his work shoes. Brian's older brothers were watching TV, and they hardly moved.
Come on, guys. Hard work is good for you.
Okay, but what are we doing anyway?
Michael muttered.
We're planting some bushes along the front of the house. I'll need help digging and hauling dirt. It'll be fun working together.
Doesn't sound like fun to me,
said Carson. Brian frowned. He didn't really want to spend his whole Saturday working either. Plus, it was going to be hot today. But Dad said he needed help.
I'll help,
Brian said.
That's really nice of you, Brian, but the ground is hard clay, so it's going to be a tough job. And hauling off the dirt won't be easy with that steep hill next to our house.
I can do it,
said Brian. His older brothers looked at Brian doubtfully. After all, he was only 8 years old.
Okay, boys, let's get to work.
Dad was right. The ground was so hard they had to use a pickaxe to loosen it up. But while Michael and Carson were off tossing dirt at each other, Brian and Dad finished digging the first hole. Once the wheelbarrow was full, Dad asked Michael to dump it in the woods near the house. To get there, he would have to go partway down and across a steep hill.
I don't think I can do it,
Michael said, pushing the wheelbarrow only a few feet.
It's too heavy. I'll fall down the hill.
Carson gave it a try next.
Too heavy,
he agreed.
Dad's the only one strong enough for that.
That's when Brian stepped forward.
I can do it,
he said. He lifted with all his might. He started pushing the wheelbarrow forward slowly.
That's okay, Brian. I'll get...
Dad began. But Brian was determined.
There's no way you can make it,
said Michael. As the hill got steeper, Brian got faster and faster. Now he wasn't pushing the wheelbarrow. It was pulling him. Dad started after him, but Brian held on tight and steered it to the right. He slowed it down just enough to stop in front of the bushes at the edge of the yard. Then he heaved it over with a mighty shove and dumped the load.
Whoa,
said Michael.
No way,
said Carson.
Oh, you definitely win the prize for hardest worker today,
said Dad as Brian climbed back up the hill.
Phew,
said Brian, wiping the sweat from his forehead.
I'm just glad I made it back alive.
Everyone laughed. When the wheelbarrow was filled again, Michael said,
I've got this load.
They all watched as he slowly followed Brian's pathway down the hill and over to the trees, where he dumped another load of dirt. Michael was breathing hard when he got back.
That was tough,
Michael said, wiping the sweat from his face.
I still can't believe you did that all on your own, Brian.
Yeah, how did you do that?
Carson asked, stretching his arms after hauling the next load. Before too long, the new bushes were planted. Brian had never been so hot and sweaty and tired, but he was glad he could do a hard day's work with his dad and brothers. It really had been fun working together. The author lives in Tennessee, USA.
Sidebar. When I was 5, my family helped my uncle move. There was a movie on for the kids. I could have watched, but I felt like I should help. It was hard work, but I felt the spirit while helping. It made me feel warm inside. I knew it was the spirit telling me I was doing a good job. Kate M. H.H., Utah, USA.
End of the story, Brian Leads the Way. Read by Van Farnworth, Scott Moore, Ethan Nelson, Matthew Moore, Ben Cummins, and Shannon Nelson.
When I grow up, I want to own a business. From an interview by Linda Davies.
I'm Rosemary Card, and I'm a business owner.
What do you do in your job?
I design and sell dresses for women to wear in the temple. I own a small business, so I do everything myself. First, I create dress designs, then I have another company make them, and then I advertise and sell the dresses online.
What do you like most about your job?
I get to be my own boss and have my dog as a coworker. But I have to be responsible, too. No one will get mad if I don't work for a day, but no work will get done unless I do it. I work extra hard because I love my job, and I know it's what Heavenly Father wants me to do.
What did you have to learn to do this job?
It took lots of research, asking questions, and praying. When I had questions or problems, I asked for help from people who had their own businesses. Most important, I prayed to Heavenly Father to help me know what was best for my company.
How did your job help grow your faith?
My job helps me put more faith in Heavenly Father. If I trust Him, He helps me do big, scary things. He knows my talents, so He helps me grow them through my work. This way, I can share my talents and help others too. Heavenly Father has taught me to be the best business owner I can be. I feel good knowing that I'm helping women as they go to the temple to learn about Heavenly Father. End of the article. I Want to Own a Business. Read by Lindsay Hepworth and Amelie Strongen.
Hidden picture. Fun stuff, hidden picture. This brother and sister wanted to give Mom and Dad a surprise dinner date. Can you find the hidden objects? A glove, a comb, a light bulb, scissors, basketball, necklace, a ball with string, toothbrush, a radio, and a tape measure. End of Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Book of Mormon Hero. Samuel testified. Samuel was a prophet who was a Lamanite. Heavenly Father told Samuel to tell the wicked Nephites to repent. The Nephites wouldn't let Samuel into their city, so he stood on the city wall. They threw stones and shot arrows at him, but Heavenly Father protected him. Samuel testified of Heavenly Father and told the people what Heavenly Father wanted them to hear.
One time I was scared because I had to bear my testimony. When I bore my testimony, I wasn't scared. Chase C., age 6, Arizona, USA.
I can testify. Memorize Helaman 14:8. Help others choose the right by being a good example this week. Watch chapter 40 of the Book of Mormon stories at scripturestories.lds.org. I challenge myself to the new star. One thing Samuel told the Nephites was that Jesus Christ would be born soon and would be the Savior. A new star would shine when Jesus was born. Some people were angry and tried to hurt Samuel. Others believed his words and wanted to be baptized. Read about Samuel on page FJ4 and look for another reading challenge next month. You can print more copies at friend2016bom.lds.org.
End of the section, Book of Mormon Hero, read by Enzo Patello and Gabe Strongen.
Be smart, be safe, and have fun. There's so much to watch, read, and listen to. Heavenly Father has given us great guidelines, but a lot of choices are up to us and our families. Use this activity to help your family set good standards so that you can be smart, be safe, and have fun. Start. You're playing online, and a small screen pops up. Do you click to open it?
No. Close the browser right away and tell a parent you want to stay on good, safe sites. What are websites and apps your family likes?
Yes. That's not a good idea. Pop-ups and other ads can take you to pages you don't want to go or can download harmful things on your device.
It's almost bedtime, but you're playing a fun game on the tablet. Do you take it to bed with you?
No. Your mind needs to rest and relax before you go to bed.
Yes. It's smart to leave phones and tablets outside bedrooms. This will help you not to be tempted to keep playing and lose sleep. What are other screen-free times or places you have in your home?
You see something online that makes you feel icky. Do you tell a parent?
Yes. Telling an adult what you saw and how you feel about it is like letting go of a balloon and seeing it float far away out of sight. You don't have to carry the bad things you see with you.
No. You can make a 10-minute rule with your family. If you see something violent, shocking, or upsetting, tell a parent or trusted adult within 10 minutes, or as soon as possible. No one gets in trouble, and you can quickly let go of the bad feelings.
You're sitting in sacrament meeting and want to play on your phone. Do you pull it out?
No. You can draw or take notes while you listen instead. After church, you can find good things like scriptures or the friend, but check with a parent to find out if that's okay.
Yes, it's good to focus on the people and things around us. What are other times you should keep the phone or tablet put away?
A friend posts an embarrassing photo of a boy at school. Do you repost it?
No. You can also ask the person who posted it to take it down. Talk to a parent or trusted adult to help you, or if the mean thing is about you.
Yes. Don't post or text things that will hurt or embarrass anyone. Do your part to stop cyberbullying by not passing on mean or embarrassing messages.
You've been watching TV for a long time. Watching another program or two won't hurt, right? Do you keep watching?
No. It's good to take breaks. Turn off the TV and do something outside or with other people. What are other fun things you can do?
Yes. Does your family have rules on screen time? You could set a timer to help keep track. Remember that there are lots of great non-screen things to do. Read a book, use your imagination, play outside, or play with friends.
End.
Congrats on reaching the end. Use this badge to remind you what you have learned. You could also hang up a list of your family computer and game rules.
End of the article, Be Smart, Be Safe, and Have Fun. Read by David Shaw and Chloe and Enzo Patello.
The Hidden Video Game by Margot May, based on a true story. Everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Moroni chapter 7, verse 16. The word winner flashed across the TV screen. Ava had lost. Again. Ava frowned at her brother Skylar and hit the start button on her video game controller.
Let's play that again.
The game quickly started a new level. This time, they were in an abandoned warehouse. Bad guys would be hiding everywhere. Ava shivered with delight and gripped her controller tightly. But Skylar set his controller down.
I'm done playing.
Ava tried to hand his controller back.
You're just saying that because you won. Come on, one more level.
Skylar shook his head.
I don't think we should play it anymore.
Ava watched Skylar pull the game from the console. Her mouth dropped open in shock.
Ever?
Skylar shrugged.
It doesn't make me feel good when I play it.
But Mom and Dad said it's okay, and we've been playing it forever.
I think we should get rid of it so we don't play it again.
Ava grabbed the game from him.
You can't decide for the rest of us. It has to be fair.
She turned to the couch where their little sister Betsy sat watching.
Betsy, what do you think? It's kind of scary.
Ava couldn't believe Betsy was choosing Skylar's side. Skylar gently took the game from her hand.
Okay, I'll just hide it for a while. We have lots of good games to play instead. Maybe we won't even miss it.
Ava just glared and watched him put the game into his pocket. The next day, Ava went to the family room to play the game. Then she remembered Skylar had hidden it.
I'll just find it then,
Ava thought. She checked under Skylar's bed. She checked between the couch and cushions. She even checked the chicken coop. But weeks went by, and the game was still missing. Skylar had hidden it really well. Some days, Ava completely forgot about the game. One afternoon, it was Ava's turn to do laundry. She opened Skylar's dresser drawer and started putting his clothes away. Something poked out at the back of a drawer. It didn't look like clothes. Ava slowly pulled it out. It was the game! It had been here the whole time. Ava grinned. She couldn't wait to play it again. She was sure Skylar would play it too once he remembered how fun it was. Except it was a little scary, like Betsy had said. Suddenly, Ava wasn't so sure. It was more violent than their other games, even if Mom and Dad hadn't noticed. Skylar said it didn't make him feel good. Ava thought about it. Maybe he was right. Sometimes, after playing the game, she would argue with Betsy more or be angry at Skylar for winning. She hadn't felt good either. She just hadn't noticed until now. Ava put the game back in the drawer and set a stack of shirts on top.
Ava!
Skylar called. He leaned into the room, smiling.
Dad says we can't beat him at basketball. Want to prove him wrong?
Ava glanced down at the drawer. She thought a moment. The video game was fun, but it didn't make her or her siblings feel good. Ava smiled.
Yeah,
she said. She closed the drawer, and the two raced out of the bedroom, leaving the game behind.
Sidebar. I checked out a library book that I had a feeling I shouldn't read. I started reading anyway, and soon the main character took the Lord's name in vain. I decided I would stop reading. I was sad I wouldn't get to the end of the book, but I had a good feeling that I was doing the right thing. Miranda J., age 9, Oklahoma, USA.
End of the story, The Hidden Video Game. Read by Charlene Stewart, Margot Patello, Ethan Nelson, Maya Reinwand, and Amelie Strongen.
Show and tell. After we visited the Hog Netherlands Temple with our primary, we came home and built one out of blocks. Silas and Asha G., ages 4 and 7, Amsterdam, Netherlands.
My sisters and I started arguing, and we could tell that the Holy Ghost had left us. My mom asked us to sing some primary songs instead of arguing. After we were done singing, I felt peaceful and happy inside. Good music can help us keep the Holy Ghost with us. Madison M., age 9, Arizona, USA.
I love making origami figures. Here, I made Nephi, President Monson, and Joseph Smith. I help teach my family scripture stories using my origami figures. Jackson H., age 10, Arizona, USA.
I was drawing with chalk on our driveway, and my mom was inside our house. She had a prompting to come and sit with me outside. As soon as I sat in her lap, a car zoomed down our street, going backwards. They drove right into our driveway where I had been drawing. We are so thankful for the Holy Ghost who helped us stay safe. Benjamin H., age 8, Arkansas, USA.
It is hard for me, but I follow the Holy Ghost little by little. It makes my family proud of me. Jasmine B., age 6, New York, USA.
Once I was playing a game on the computer and it took the Lord's name in vain. I closed the game down and told my mom. She was proud of me, and I never played that game again. I know I chose the right. Sam H., age 10, Missouri, USA.
I saw a person at a restaurant who only had 3 fingers on each hand. At first I thought it was weird, but then I thought about Jesus Christ. He loves everyone just the same. I was born with bent pinkies. I know Jesus loves me just the same as he loves everybody else. Ellie L., age 8, Utah, USA.
The Stratford Branch Primary, Kitchener, Ontario Stake, Ontario, Canada, enjoyed making a model of the Toronto, Ontario Temple during their branch temple trip. They look forward to seeing this model in the primary room on Sundays.
Standing tall footprints. Tristan W., age 10, from Hong Kong, says, I will stand tall by being generous to others. Alyssa B., age 5, from Utah, USA, said, I can stand tall by being reverent at church and being nice to my sister. Ephraim B., age 6, from River State, Nigeria, said, On Sunday, I asked my younger sister to be reverent like Heavenly Father wants us to be in sacrament meeting. Kirsty B., age 6, from Hampshire, England, said, I will be a good example to my friends. Austin G., age 7, from Utah, USA, said, I can stand tall by talking more to my mom so we understand each other better. Amy B., age 10, from Hampshire, England, said, I am very good around the house, especially cleaning the bathrooms. Micah A., age 10, Pennsylvania, USA, said, My soccer teammates were teasing my friend, so I stood up for him. I'm trying to be like Jesus and be a good friend. Ashley W., age 10, from Hong Kong, said, I will stand tall by helping others. Send us your footprints. See how on page 39.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Hannah M., age 9, California, USA. Caleb C., age 10, Kentucky, USA. Sophia H., age 11, Washington, USA.
End of this month's Show and Tell.
Conference quote cards. Here are some of our favorite quotes from the April General Conference. If we choose Christ, we have made the correct choice. President Thomas S. Monson. God loves children. He loves all children. Elder Neil Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Love is making space in your life for someone else. Sister Neil F. Marriott, Young Woman General Presidency. To be worthy does not mean to be perfect. Elder Garrett W. Gong of the 70. End of the section, Conference Quote Cards. Read by Noah Strongen.
The Lord Gave Me a Temple. Words by Donnell Hunter. Music by Darwin Wolford. Verse 1. The Lord gave me a temple to live within on earth. Once in heaven, I was spirit, but I left my home at birth. I'll make my temple brighter, I'll keep my spirit free. My body is the temple my Father gave to me. Verse 2. If I keep my body clean and pure and habit free, I may in Father's temple claim blessings promised me. On resurrection morning, I'll take my body bright, and in celestial glory forever live in light. Copyright 2016-1969 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved. This song may be copied for incidental, non-commercial church and home use. This notice must be included on each copy made. Watch a sing-along video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and Music. End of The Lord Give Me a Temple. Read by Tess Hawkins.
Friend to Friend, Being Where We Should Be, by Elder Randy D. Funk of the 70, from an interview by Linda Davies. When I was 11 years old, I lived in Manti, Utah, USA. At the beginning of the year, my primary teacher brought to our class a small, beautiful hatchet.
Whoever comes to primary the most this year gets to keep the hatchet,
she said. Right then, I decided to come every week, and I did. At the end of the year, I got the hatchet. Soon my 12th birthday came. I was ordained a deacon. Around this time, my family moved to Madison, Wisconsin, USA. I missed my friends but wanted to make new ones. Madison was much bigger than Manti. My new school was large. There weren't many members of the church. One day, some popular kids invited me to a party, but the party was on the same night as a church activity. I had learned from my experience in primary that good things happen when I am faithful in attending my church meetings. So I thanked them for inviting me and explained why I couldn't come. I am glad I went to the church activity. The next day, everyone at school was talking about the party. Some kids had been drinking alcohol. They had damaged some furniture, and everyone who went got in a lot of trouble. I was so grateful that I had been where I needed to be. I am thankful that I went to primary and youth activities and other church meetings as I was growing up. I learned important lessons about the gospel there. I was protected from temptation and sin, and I had fun at the activities. Heavenly Father strengthens our faith and blesses us when we try to be where we should be and do what we should do. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 63, Jesus said, "Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you." As we attend our church meetings, including sacrament meeting, we draw closer to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. We learn important truths to guide our decisions throughout the week, even when we are not at church or surrounded by others who share our beliefs. When you live righteously, the Holy Ghost will help you know where you need to be and what you need to do.
Draw near unto Jesus. At church, we learn how to make good choices and become better followers of Jesus. Fill in the blanks to help the children in the pictures know what to do. 1. Be ye blank one to another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. 2. Blessed are the blank. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. 3. When ye are in the blank of your fellow beings, ye are only in the blank of your God. Mosiah chapter 2, verse 17. Number 4. If there is anything blank, lovely, or of good report, or blank, we seek after these things. Articles of Faith, chapter 1, verse 13. End of the story, Being Where We Should Be, read by David Shaw and Charlene Stewart.
Did you hear about Shara? By Julie Cornelius Huang, based on a true story. How could Lena make things right? Let's speak of all the best we can. Hymns, number 233. Lena swung her lunchbox as she walked to the lunchroom. Lunch was the best part of the day. Lena loved sitting with her friends and talking about who said what, who liked who got into trouble. There were always fun things to talk about. And today, Lena was sure she had the most exciting news. She couldn't wait to tell her friends.
"Guess what?"
she said as soon as she sat down.
"Shara Johnson had to go home early today because she has lice."
The girls gasped and stared at her. Trish moaned,
"Oh, I worked right by her like 6 times today. What if I have lice too?"
she said.
"Oh no,"
Katie said.
"I have to work with her on a science project next week."
Melissa shuddered.
"That is so gross. I don't think I can be her friend anymore."
Lena stopped smiling. She squirmed in her seat. She had been excited to share some news, but she didn't like how they were talking about Shara now. She didn't want Shara to lose any friends. Getting lice didn't mean anything bad about Shara. It could have happened to any of them. Lena tried to forget about it and just eat her food, but she just couldn't. When the bell rang for them to go back to class, the girls were still talking about Shara. They kept laughing and making faces. Lena felt awful. Back in class, Mrs. Currier called Lena to her desk.
Since you're Shara's neighbor, would you please take her today's homework?
Mrs. Currier asked.
Oh, no.
Lena didn't want to face Shara, not after what she'd said, but she nodded and took the worksheets. On her way home after school, Lena stopped by the Johnson's house. She rang the doorbell and hoped that anyone but Shara would open the door.
Hi, Lena.
It was Shara. She smiled when she saw Lena standing on the porch.
What's up?
I'm just bringing your homework,
Lena said, trying to smile too.
Thanks. I was worried I would fall behind after missing today.
So you'll be back tomorrow?
Lena asked.
Yep, I'll see you in class.
Awesome. See you tomorrow.
Lena smiled the best she could, then walked away. Now she felt even worse. Shara was so nice, and now the girls at school were saying mean things about her. Lena wanted to fix things, but how? Lena didn't know what to do, but she knew who could help her. She stopped walking, closed her eyes, and bowed her head.
Heavenly Father, I really messed up today. I gossiped about Shara, and now I feel really bad about it. I am so sorry. I don't know how to make it right. Please help me fix my mistake.
After Lena finished praying, she felt peaceful. She knew that making things right might be scary, but Heavenly Father would help her. The next day at lunch, Lena saw her friends at their usual table. As she walked toward them, she said another quick prayer.
Please help me be brave.
Hey,
Lena said. She didn't sit down.
I wanted to say that I'm sorry I told you Shara had lice. Shara is really nice, and I shouldn't have said anything. We shouldn't spread bad news about other people.
Trish, Katie, and Melissa stared at her. They looked too surprised to say anything. Lena turned away. She felt better for the first time since yesterday. Then she spotted Shara across the lunchroom and waved. Shara waved back, and Lena walked over to sit by her. The warm feeling in her heart told her that she had made the right choice. The author lives in Nevada, USA.
Sidebar: our words, like our deeds, should be filled with faith and hope and charity. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, The Tongue of Angels, Ensign May 2007, page 18.
End of the story. Did you hear about Shara? Read by Shauna Thompson, Chloe Patello, Salem Tullis, Tess Hawkins, Maya Reinwand, Jane Wise, Amelie Strongen, and David Shaw.
Shine your light. Being modest is a great way to shine a light for others to follow. It shows that you love Jesus Christ and you are trying to follow him. Color in the flashlights by the ones you are already doing. Which ones do you want to work on? Talk to your family about ways you can be modest. Send us your creative ideas. Modesty means how I act. Fits the time and place, not showing off. How I dress. Clean and neat. Clothes that cover my body properly and are appropriate for the activity. How I speak. Kind words, not bragging or rude. How I treat my body. With reverence and respect. Keep it clean and healthy. How I treat others. Look for the best in others. Don't judge. Treat everyone with respect and kindness.
Sidebar. When I was at my friend's birthday party, everyone was eating junk food, taking off their shirts, and playing really wild. I only ate a few treats, kept my shirt on, and played safe. I am glad I remembered to respect my body, because it is a temple. Seth C., age 7, Wisconsin, USA. End of the article, Shine Your Light. Read by Amelie Strongen and Matthew Moore. Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, Mandy and her mother are preparing food for dinner. Mandy tells her mom about what she learned in school.
We learned about the brain today. It stores so much. All the things you see and hear and everything.
Mom says,
it really is amazing.
That reminds me. Would you please take out the garbage?
Why would the brain remind you of taking out the garbage?
Remember that movie you decided not to see last week?
The kids at school said it's really funny, but you and Dad didn't feel good about it.
And she remembers what her dad said.
I read about that movie. It has some bad stuff you don't want stuck in your wonderful brain.
As Maddie is getting ready to take out the garbage, she turns back to her mom and says,
So the bad stuff Dad was talking about is kind of like this garbage, but harder to get rid of.
Smart girl!
While Matt stands in the background looking guilty, Mom asks,
Speaking of smelly things, why was there a pile of stinky socks under your bed?
End of this month's Matt and Mandy.
Stop and flip. To read more, close the magazine and flip it over. Through your eyes.
One morning, my mom and I went for a walk in the fog. I asked my mom to take me home to get the camera so I could get a picture of this cool leaf. Evan W., age 5, Utah, USA.
How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or footprint. Fill out the form below and send it with your story or artwork. Send us a school picture or high-quality photo. We might edit your story to make it shorter or more clear, and we can't return it to you. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a young girl is excitedly showing her little sister her bed. Using giant rubber bands, she connects the blankets and pillows to the bedposts.
That bag of rubber bands was the best present ever! Now my bed can make itself!
End of the section Stop and Flip, read by Noah Strongen, Enzo Patello, and Amelie Strongen.
For parents of little ones, can I help? When your young child says these magic words, you might be tempted to say no, but letting little ones help is an important step in teaching them to serve others. Here are three more benefits. First, little ones are excited about mirroring mommy and daddy, so it's an ideal time to build the habit of working together. Second, children who help feel capable and valued as contributing family members. Third, the whole family will have more time to do fun things together. So answer that next offer to help with a smile and a yes. You'll be giving your child positive experiences with helping and serving. Five tips for letting young children help. Keep unbreakable dishes in easy reach so children can put them away or let them sort clean silverware. Give children their own scrub brush or sponge. While you are cleaning, they can clean with plain water. Ignore mistakes. Resist the urge to take over or redo an imperfect job. Let them sift, measure, and stir while cooking. Put the mixing bowl within reach on a tablecloth or plastic bag. Point out successes and express thanks. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the article, For Parents of Little Ones, read by David Shaw.
Idea poster. In this month's Bright Idea poster, Jesus is helping children to make some baskets. The caption reads, When we're helping, we're happy, and we sing as we go. Children's Songbook, page 198. End of this month's Bright Idea poster, read by Margot Patillo.
Micah Obeys by Jennifer Maddie. Micah had a frown on his face. Mommy asked him to help set the table, but Micah said no. Daddy asked Micah to stop teasing his little sister, but Micah said no. Daddy said, Micah, when you obey, it helps our family be happy. Micah liked it when his family was happy. He went to the table. He put the forks and spoons next to the plates. Mommy smiled. Thank you, Micah. Then he gave his little sister a teddy bear to play with. She smiled. Daddy smiled too. Thank you, Micah. Micah didn't have a frown anymore. It turned upside down into a big smile. End of the story, Micah Obeys. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Book of Mormon Stories, Samuel teaches about Jesus. Samuel was a prophet. He climbed onto a city wall to preach. He told the people they needed to repent and have faith in Jesus Christ. Samuel taught that Jesus would soon be born. A new star would shine. The sky would stay bright the whole night. He taught that when Jesus died, it would be dark for 3 days. Many cities would be destroyed. Some people believed and were baptized. Others did not believe and were angry. They threw rocks and shot arrows at Samuel. But God protected him, and he wasn't hurt. The people who did not believe tried to capture Samuel, but Samuel got away. 5 years later, Jesus was born. A new star shone in the sky. It was just like Samuel had taught. From Helaman chapters 13 through 15 and 3 Nephi chapter 1 verses 13 through 15 and verse 21. End of Book of Mormon Stories, Samuel Teaches About Jesus. Read by Kate Strongen. Hands, Heart, and a Smile by Laura Goodrich, based on a true story. Lydia watched Mommy get ready for work. Mommy put on pretty pink lipstick. She looked beautiful. Lydia looked in the mirror. She felt sad.
I don't have any lipstick, so I'm not beautiful.
Mommy hugged her tight.
Wearing lipstick isn't what makes people beautiful. Being strong and kind makes people beautiful.
Strong? Like having lots of muscles?
Lydia asked. Mommy smiled.
No, this kind of strong means choosing the right.
How?
Asked Lydia.
Well, you are strong and kind when your hands help others,
Mommy said.
You are strong and kind when your heart loves everyone. And you are strong and kind when you smile. That makes everyone happy, too. Being strong and kind makes you beautiful inside, not just outside.
Lydia wanted to be strong and kind. She used her hands to carry the mail in for Grandpa. She gave her last cookie to her cousin. She felt love in her heart when she played with a new neighbor. And she felt love when she gave coins to a girl collecting money for people who didn't have homes. She smiled at people she saw. They all smiled back. That night, Lydia told Mommy,
"You're right. I feel strong and kind. I use my hands and my heart and my smile today."
Mommy smiled.
"You are strong and kind, just like Jesus wants you to be."
The author lives in Guam.
End of the story, Hands, Heart, and a Smile. Read by Rena Nelson, Kate Strongen, and Maya Reinwand.